following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson at KIIC Albia and Joe Benedict at the Keokuk Daily Gate City. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, what concerns do you have regarding the ownership of U.S. food companies and U.S. farmland by, well, in particular, foreign entities? I know you've talked about this.
Iowa has had a law for decades, probably longer than I've been in public office, that limits foreign ownership to no more than 320 acres by one person. Now, at the federal level, we don't have such a law, but there is a bill that I got passed with former Senator Wallop, now deceased, who was in the Senate while I was in the House a long, long time ago, where the federal government had no information on foreign ownership of land. Now, that's got to be reported, and so we have a handle on how much land is foreign-owned. And I guess to answer your question, there's been, even though it's maybe less than 3%, maybe even in the 2-point-plus percentage range that is foreign-owned, there's been a big uptick in it at this particular time. And because it's coming from China, and you know, never know what China's up to, it's kind of scary. So I'm sponsoring a bill with other senators that would make sure that this, it goes by an acronym, CFIUS, which is a conglomeration of different agencies in the federal government that monitor foreign ownership of property. I think the Department of Agriculture should be involved with that so that we keep track of this foreign ownership of farmland. And this bill would put the Department of Agriculture as a permanent member of CFIUS. Joe?
I got an email from either your office or Senator Ernst about the waters of the United States. I kind of thought that had been taken care of, but where is that at and where is it headed?
Yeah. Well, you're right. It was taken care of by a President Trump, and it's being that's been taken care of and replaced with something that we hope isn't as bad as it was under Obama, but it could be that bad. And our letter is expressing that concern, and I can only point to maybe a speech I gave late last year. If you go to my website, it deals with this issue, and I used a map that was available during the 2013-2014 period of time when Obama came out with Waters of the U.S. that would have basically had the federal government through the Corps of Engineers and the EPA regulating about 97% of the land in Iowa. Now, what Trump came along did replace that with something that said the federal government's regulation will stop where big boats can't go. So that would be as far as what we define as a navigable river. So, you know, that would be a good part of the Mississippi and Missouri, but it wouldn't be the Wapsipinicon River in Iowa, or the Iowa River, or the Des Moines River that goes down in your direction. And so that's where the states would take over on the regulation. Now, obviously, Democrats like to regulate everything, and they want to go back to the Obama period of regulation. Now, we're asking them to hold off, because the Supreme Court has taken a couple cases under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, which protects private property can't be taken without just compensation, to do some, hopefully the court's going to put some limits on what the federal law says the president can do in this area. Tom.
Senator, one of your colleagues, Senator John Tester, told Business Insider, I just read this today, that Democrats should look to passing a comprehensive migration bill as a way to cut inflation, which is now at 7.5% or so. What's your response to that statement? It seems wrong on all levels.
Did you say he's connecting immigration with inflation? Is that what I heard you say?
Yes, he told Business Insider that they should pass a comprehensive migration bill to stop cutting inflation.
Yeah. Well, I think the extent to which we're short of workers, that's true. We want to make sure, though, that we wouldn't have this problem if we were controlling the borders. If we were controlling the borders, we could pass a lot of immigration legislation. I agree with Senator Tester. He's almost the only other grain farmer in the United States Senate besides me. So we speak a lot about issues together. If he would get his president to enforce the laws, because Congress has passed plenty of laws saying that what you see on television crossing the border is just illegal. We don't need to pass any more laws unless it's to complete the fence, and Democrats don't want us to do that, so we're stuck with the president enforcing laws. But if the laws were enforced, we could pass a lot of legislation that would help us with our legal immigration problem with unskilled workers, skilled workers, and with professional people like engineers, what we call H-1B program. Joe?
The Build Back Better is kind of being broken up into separate bills now, and there was one about Medicare negotiating prices for drugs, but that's kind of been blocked. How do you feel about that situation for negotiating for Medicare drug prices?
This is probably the first time I've talked to you on this subject, but I've had a bipartisan bill widen that got out of committee 19-9 that would do several things to keep drug prices down. The most important thing is limiting the increase in the price of drugs year over year to no more than the consumer price index. It would put a $3,100 a year out-of-pocket cost on what one person had to pay for drugs. It would do something to help local pharmacists. They're being cheated by what we call the pharmacy benefit managers, having too much power and in a middleman between the drug companies and the retailer getting their product. It would do away the donut hole in Medicare Part D. It would keep the launch of the drug price would be reviewed by the government and would have to be a transparently how they arrived at the price of a launch price of a drug, and it would save the taxpayers $95 billion, and it would save consumers $72 billion, and that's according to the Congressional Budget Office. So there's about 36 or 37 provisions in there dealing with the drug companies, and I only told you about four or five of them. But they're outside of the Grassley-Wyden bill. There's also four or five other bills that I'm just going to categorize this way, although they deal with them in different ways, but to get the generic drugs on the market faster. There's schemes that are played between generic companies and the company that holds the patent that really keeps the price higher than it should be. Back to Tom.
Yes, Senator, the Postal Service Reform Act has passed the House and gained a lot of traction as it would improve operations and increase transparency, and that's hard to be against that. But I did read a criticism where this would put retired postal workers' health care into the already overburdened Medicare plan. So have you thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, yes, I'm reviewing that bill. I haven't made up my mind how I'm going to vote on it. But it seems to me that we have to keep the Postal Service alive, and it's supposed to function without taxpayers' money. And it has been that way since 1969, hasn't been done in a business-like way very well. But they've got management now that wants to improve that, and I think this legislation would lead it that way. But let me get back to your question about Medicare. About 80% of the people that retire from the Postal Service do go into Medicare. This would take care of the other 20% that has it. Joe, you'll be the last question.
All right. There's been some talk about stopping stock trading while you're in Congress. How do you feel about that discussion?
Well, I'm kind of in the middle of this to some extent that I never anticipated 25 years ago. I'm the guy responsible for the passage of what's called the Congressional Accountability Act. And the reason I got that passed was Congress had exempted itself from a lot of laws between 1938 and 1995, and I thought it was wrong. I thought it was wrong to do that. So I'm talking to you about the Congressional Accountability Act. And I just now realize you asked me about the Stock Act and about the people in Congress not being able to deal in that. That's another one that I'm kind of in the middle of, but not in the same way that I started to tell you about Congress not exempting itself from laws. And that is that I voted for the Stock Act that we have now, which brings about transparency and accountability. And so you have to report in 45 days any trading you've done. And the reason for that is so that people like you that are in journalism keep members of Congress honest, not violating the insider trading laws and all that sort of stuff. And so now it's kind of reached a point where nobody's been found guilty of anything. In fact, there's probably been two or three charges against a couple members of Congress that were outright ludicrous. But then when the judges were doing it, your Wall Street Journal article said that. Then that brings this issue up. And so I think we're going to have to face legislation. And if you're asking me how I'm going to vote, I don't know how I voted, but I'm very active in this area of transparency in government. And I'd like to have somebody prove to me that what we've done for the last 11 years isn't enough. But if it's not enough and they convince me of it, I could vote for it. But I want to make very clear that this senator that you're talking to, I don't trade because any investments I have are in mutual funds. And those tradings go on, as you know, mutual funds do by whoever you have it, wherever your account is, and they don't bother to ask me anything about it. And that's the way it should be. That's the way I don't have to worry about violating the Stock Act or not. So I thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom and Joe, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.